We're coming up to the holiday of Purim, and one of the questions that come up on Purim, which is a healthy question, is the problem of being married with kids. What do I mean? So Purim's a wonderful holiday. It's an easy one in terms of dressing up, being happy. You don't, in terms of portraying the holiday to your kids, I'm pretty sure that's not the challenge. What's the challenge? The challenge comes with the mitzvah of Purim, one of the four mitzvahs we're going to do that day of Megillah reading. You see, you, as a man, are obligated, obviously, in the mitzvah of hearing a Megillah. Your wife, as a woman, is also obligated in the mitzvah of hearing the Megillah. Now, you would have said she may have not been obligated, because it's a time-bound commandment. However, these are one of the three commandments that the Gemara says, they were part of the miracle, or maybe not only part of the miracle, but according to another interpretation, the catalyst of the actual miracle. Esther is the hero of Purim, and we can go on with Hanukkah and with Arba Kosot. And therefore, because of that, they have to hear the Megillah as well. Now, what happens when you have kids and both are obligated in hearing the Megillah?
You have different ones.
So it's very easy to say, no problem, have an early Megillah reading and a later Megillah reading. And one will be for the man, one will be for the woman, and you can decide who's going to which, and that's the end of the story.
You're talking about the day as opposed to the night?
I'm talking about both.
Oh, are women obligated in both day and night?
Yes.
You thought otherwise?
I wasn't sure.
Okay. Therefore, that's very easy to say when we're living in the lap of luxury, and you have a lot of people, and it's wonderful, and it's terrific. Now, what happens when you don't live in such a big community? In that situation, there's many a people that will come to shul with their kids, and there'll be a few shushers. Have you met the shushers?
They make a separate menu.
Pardon?
We have a separate menu for shushers. We do earlier.
That's the
shushers. My wife Elaine's the fifth parak for ladies' minion, and the kids go with her.
Okay. This year is dedicated to the memory of my grandfather, Shlomo ben Yehoshua, Zichron Levracha, who Yahrzeit was yesterday. He was a man that could read the Megillah, he can lane, he can daven, he can do it all. And quite frankly, if you are that person, maybe this year is not necessary. True, it's better to look for a minion to hear the Megillah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. But we paskin lahalacha, even though there's a debate about this in Megillah Daf Hey, that you don't need a minion for Megillah reading. So if your wife or you knew how to read Megillah, one will go to shul and the other will stay back. You can fight it out, who will go and who will stay back. But quite frankly, if there's only one minion and there's only one Megillah reader and there's only one time to hear the Megillah because you're living in a small community, what do you do in that situation? Now I want to buttress my question and sharpen it. It's not just that there's one Megillah reading, and when you bring young kids to shul, they're going to make a lot of noise, and people are going to hush them, and it's not going to be very pleasant. And instead of having a happy holiday, it will probably be a dreadful one. It's more than that. Many people around the world will come to shul if they're invited, but they will not go out of their way to come to shul. And therefore, even if you offer a second Megillah reading, it may be empty. Yes, Harold.
What about an option in a community you only have one minyan and kids are coming and everybody's coming to use a microphone?
There's a large, large literature about using microphones on Purim in a shul. In general, I don't think it's a problem, personally, if you can hear it even without the microphone. And in most shuls you can, because, point positive, what do you do on Shabbos? What do you do on Yontif? So obviously, I think that's okay in that situation. But a microphone many a times doesn't help, because if you're sitting here and someone's sitting there and they're talking and they're doing what they're doing, it's going to be very difficult to hear the Megillah reading. So what do we offer such a person? Who should go to shul? Who should stay back? I mean, you cannot ask the rabbi to read the Megillah for every single woman staying at home. You can't. You just can't.
No,
you can't. You can't ask him on Motzei Shabbos, when Purim comes out in the majority of the world, from the time you finish the Megillah reading in shul, keep on reading Megillah for the rest of the day everywhere. Now, Chabadnikim offer that in big communities. If you have a local Chabadnik, great. But many a community doesn't have that. So there's one Megillah reading. We want everyone to hear it. We want everyone to go ahead and experience it. And many shuls make many different things during Megillah reading. As they're reading the Megillah, you could see it on a screen with the words in English or in the language of the town. Or there's pantomima. I don't know how to say that in English. pantomima, people that do things but don't talk. Oh, that's the way you say it. And they sit around and they go ahead and they're, you know, doing their thing and whatnot. And quite frankly, it's a beautiful thing. You can't do that again and again and again and again throughout Purim. I mean, if you do that, you won't have time for anything else. So what do we offer? How do we solve this problem? Again, men and women are obligated in hearing Megillah. The problem is, if you bring kids to the shul, many people will say, you're not welcome here. These people will leave shul and maybe never come back. What do we do? So I want to maybe take that very same question and ask a different question. You're living in a community in Chutz La'aretz, and you have no Eruv, right? Many a people have contemplated throughout the years that if you have no Eruv in a community and you have kids, what do? You use a non-Jew to take the carriage to shul because you want to go to shul, or your wife wants to go to shul, you both want to be in shul. And I've asked this question I was asked, I could say, every year at least five times from our graduates around the world. Is that permissible, not permissible? I can give a large shear on it. There's only one problem with the whole shear. Is it necessary? And here's where I want to make a comment that I think is important. We have to educate our children to do mitzvos from the time that they reach the age of chinuch. So with regard to prohibitions, from the time they come into this world, you don't feed them pork. But with regard to mitzvot, positive commandments, from the time they know how, you educate them to do it. So the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Bet, says, based on the kid's maturity level, and each kid is different, you start teaching them how to shake a lulav, how to wear tzitzis, how to wear tefillin, etc.
Does that stop at some point, by the way?
What do you mean, stop?
Well, at some point when they're no longer little kids that yes. are so willing to hear chinuch, is it advisable to just like,
yes.
To say, okay, I've done my part.
Absolutely.
Or you always, or you absolutely. Always involved with
kind of. Absolutely. There's a mitzvah to teach your children and your grandchildren for many, many years. But in terms of the mitzvah of chinuch to mitzvos, it ends when they're bar mitzvah bat mitzvah. Now it's their problem, as the saying goes. Right. Influence, inspire, or do what you can. I don't think a father stops being a father and a mother stops being a mother at 13. But it's their responsibility now, yes. But quite frankly, gentlemen, a baby in a baby carriage. Does she have to come to shul?
No.
No. This young baby does not have to come to shul. Therefore, to go ahead and to say, oh, you can ask a goy to do it for you, not so simple. When do we say you can ask a goy to do something? If you have a double derabanan on Shabbos, and in this situation there's no Eruv in a place where you can't carry midirabanan, and asking a non-Jew is a derabanan, so there's two derabanans, b'makom mitzvah. In a place where there's a mitzvah. Is there a mitzvah for the little kid to come to shul?
No.
I'm talking about the baby in the baby carriage that can't walk.
No.
So therefore, I don't understand many a times, and I've said this to our graduates, why don't you take a babysitter, a non-Jewish babysitter, ask him to watch your kids at home when you go to shul? I don't understand. The problem of money we can take care of. We can ask him to babysit during the week, and we'll pay them more, and therefore we won't be paying them for Shabbos, per se. But I never understood. Why do they have to come to shul when they're not at the age yet where it's appropriate? So I believe that when kids, it's a catch-22. When kids are of age that they can understand what Megillah is and etc., they'll be quiet. And when they're not yet at that age, there's no obligation for them to come to shul. And if it's important to you, then get a babysitter. Now you're going to say, very nice, but that's only if it's important to you. Maybe it's not that important to shell out money. So here's why I believe that every shul has a budget for various things. I believe that if you make a Megillah reading at night or during the day and you want people to come, you have to offer proper babysitting services surrounding it in order for the people to hear the Megillah. And I believe this is part and parcel of what a shul or a congregation has to offer their congregants when they say we give religious services. It's not just about the person that needs to say Kaddish, here's the minyan. It's about the fact that there's a building, and the building is being maintained, so that when you need your Kaddish, it's there. It's not just about, I read the Torah if you want to hear, listen. It's about everything that goes in with it. And therefore, I believe that in such a situation where there's one Megillah reading, and you want to make it beautiful and wonderful and terrific, the people that should be in the room are the people that are of age, they can experience it, understand it, at least partially, and come out with some sort of experience. And the people that are not of that age should have something else happening simultaneously in a different room. or in a different place.
This is relatively common in Orthodox Lords, but it's almost unheard of in Israel.
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe it's the money factor. Or you don't, you have like a committee that takes their jobs perhaps more responsibly to accommodate all factions of the community.
No, I don't think that's the reason. I don't think it's a money issue. I'll tell you what I believe is the
problem. The
problem
is generally more the adults than the children. I have to say this. In my experience, I've
Look,
I've
again,
always,
people adults, with adult, kids we can, we'll deal with adults at a different time. Exactly. And therefore, I believe that in, I don't think it's a problem of money. I think it's a different issue. And that is, do you view your synagogue as a place that is like the Beis HaMikdash will be, or it's a place that gives religious services? What do I mean the Beis HaMikdash will be? What do we say about the Beis HaMikdash? We repeat this on Yom Kippur and in the Slichos many a times. Ki beiti beit tefilah yikareh lechol ha'amim. This is going to be the house for all nations. So if it's for all nations, obviously it's for all Jews, young, old, etc. Now, quite frankly, if that is the case, then we have to offer a shul that's going to be age-appropriate for all ages. If not, you're basically saying it's a closed club. It's for the people that know how to daven and anyone else not want it. Oh. And therefore, I believe a lot of this anguish and a lot of this problem of who should go to shul and who should not go to shul can be solved if indeed there is a situation in which we can properly create a beautiful Megillah reading, age appropriate for the people there, simultaneously another activity happening at the same time. And for those people that are running the activity, which I believe is very important and a mitzvah even, we'll definitely read the Megillah again afterwards. Mm-hmm. That's not a problem. That's another Megillah reading. But quite frankly, for the people in the shul, I believe that you have to make it age appropriate so that, yes, you can go ahead and bring your children. It can be Berovam Vahadrat Melech, and it could be beautiful, and it will be a proper Pirsume Nisa publicizing the miracle because so many people are there, and it's a gorgeous evening, and people will come in costumes and whatnot. But it cannot come on the bill of hearing the Megillah. So as much as it's important to bring kids to shul, many a times values clash, and this is one of them. And I believe that the answer may be, well, let's have two activities. One is the Megillah reading in the shul, and one is for kids that are not yet at that age, and we should offer it. And we should offer it, and it will be pleasant for everyone. Now I'll tell you what happens when you don't offer it. Because when you don't offer it, the people that really want to hear the Megillah will say, okay, we'll make our own Megillah reading. Now that's really problematic because, quite frankly, there is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch saying, Berovam v'hadrat melech, you should have as many people there to publicize the miracle. So if every Tom, Dick, and Harry will have 10 people here, 10 people here, 10 people here, 10 people there, it will be a problem. Now again, if you're living in the lap of luxury and you have 25 minyanim, great. Most people don't live in those communities. And if you want people to come to Megillah reading, you have to say, it is an activity for the entire family. And they come in with the entire family. And once they come in, you direct them. The kids over here, the adults over there. And both will have a beautiful experience of Purim. Age appropriate. So therefore, even though we're fixated on this idea that you have to bring your kids to shul, like there's nothing else in the world but bring your kids, if they don't go to shul, that's the end of Judaism. All that is nice and true, and we can deal with it when they know what's happening in shul. But when they're 2 years old or 3 years old, and all you're going to do the entire time is deal with them, it's a problem. It's a problem. So Baruch Hashem, Megillah reading is a beautiful time. We can have people making a lot of noise while we're reading the Megillah, and the kids will be occupied to wait for that Haman to make the noise, so therefore they are occupied, even if they're six or seven. But I see no reason why to bring a two-year-old or a one-year-old to the Megillah reading. And again, if you're living in the lap of luxury and you have 25 minyanim, great. But if you're not, I believe that you have to have one Megillah reading that will be age-appropriate. Some people here, some people there. Yes?
I've had friends, maybe they were from Sephardic countries, I think, that said that they were told that men went to shul and they always had people who could learn Megillah. And then women gathered back home with the women and the kids, and someone either laned it properly or read it to them out of the
Yeah, if you don't have a Megillah, you can read it out of a Chumash and without a bracha.
There was no chashash whatsoever about women in Kitz Chumash. They just didn't do that.
Okay, so what's your point?
That maybe there's no. What is this idea to try to create a family experience in shul when maybe that's not even an appropriate?
I truly don't understand even the premise of your question. The premise of your question is: once upon a time, women didn't come to shul, and therefore it was beautiful because women didn't come to shul, and thus it was so gorgeous. It was wonderful because then when they go. The men went to shul. There was no hava amina that the women should come to shul. And when they went home, someone would read out of a chumash, which is a bidiyevet. And that was great. Why don't we go back to those days?
Because these women, who they generally don't come to shul. They're not coming. So to create this party atmosphere on regular, it might take away.
Again, okay. Bruce, women do come to shul today.
In these Baruch Hashem. I'm talking about. There's one
women shul. Come to shul today in the majority of the Jewish world. They don't just, not just the men, it's not just the women. Baruch Hashem. There are exceptions, but in general, that's the situation. Okay? And I think it's a beautiful thing because, quite frankly, they are fulfilling the Megillah as they should, namely, out of a cloth, preferably with a minyan. It's beautiful. I don't suggest going backwards and saying, no, let him do b'dievet. Well, why do you have to break your head?
Are you suggesting a women's minion only?
But Bruce, forget about my feministic versus your chauvinistic point of view. I'm sorry, you know what I mean. But quite frankly, let's go back to halacha here. In the morning, you can make a case. In the morning, you can make a case that a man is more obligated in Megillah than a woman. It is an opinion of the Bahag. We respect the opinion. Having said that, it's a one opinion. But at night, men and women are equally obligated and probably in hearing Megillah. So at night, which is usually the problem, because the night is pretty short, especially when it comes out on a Motzei Shabbos, that's where the problem is. Okay? Who's going to shul? You assumed man. I'm saying, says who? For Myriv? Yes. But for Megillah reading? Who says a man is more obligated than a woman at night? So therefore, why did you assumingly say, of course the man goes to shul? The whole question is the woman. Maybe we'll just say the same thing. Man, of course the woman will go to shul. What are we going
to
do with the man?
The morning
I have a question.
Okay, the morning minion, maybe. But again, even there, women are obligated at the end of the day in Megillah reading. Quite frankly, again, I'm saying if you're going to make one Megillah reading at one time, you have to be able to offer it to men and women equally because the halacha is that both are obligated. You cannot start saying, no, we're offering a minyan to men, and if women want to come, let them break their heads.
Well, that's why I asked if women are obligated in that morning.
Absolutely.
There's one minyan at 7 a.m., and that's when the reading is.
I started the shir by saying that women and men are obligated in Megillah reading. During the morning, yes, there is an opinion of the Bahag that says that the morning Megillah reading is more important than the night. That was their original takana. At the rest of the mitzvahs of Purim are done during the day. The only exception is Megillah reading, which maybe was a later takana. Now, if you say that, okay, very nice. There are those that add on to that an additional level of, I would say, innovation, and say that men are obligated in reading the Megillah. Women are obligated in hearing the Megillah. So it's a different kind of obligation. Any way you slice it, they still have to hear Megillah reading. Slice it this way, slice it that way, hear, read, see. They have to hear Megillah reading.
The obligation in the day is just as important as the night, isn't it, for women?
I believe that for women it's as important.
Right. There's no...
Well, I mean, I believe. That's exactly it.
There's absolutely no difference between night and day.
Absolutely. It could be during the day they're obligated more because that was the original takana. But even when they're obligated more, there are those that say they're only obligated in hearing and not reading, and therefore their bracha could be different. But again, any way you slice it, they got to be there. They got
to
hear Megillah.
Well, they have to hear it there. What happened to Halifax?
What? That's exactly what we did.
Must a man read it for the women?
No, absolutely not.
And the women's minion.
I don't know. I have to say, there is many, I would say, the issue today being debated around the Jewish world is the place of women in synagogue. Big issue. Big issue. You can read it all on the blogs and on Facebook and whatnot. But I have to say that on this issue, the issue of Megillah reading, if you ask me, what's more tzniastic? Having a Megillah reading where there's 50 women in the room and one man reading the Megillah, or having 50 women in the room and a woman reading the Megillah, what do you think is more tzniastic? One man with 50 women, or women with women?
That's a, I think it's a straw man question.
That's a what?
A straw man question. Put the guy, put the woman in the ladies section. Have the guy stand where he normally stands. He doesn't see them. He doesn't want to. It's not.
Your proposal is put the women in the women's section, have one man in the men's section by himself?
The women sit in the women's section anyway. They come to shul. That's okay. Where they sit. The guy lands in a nice hall, open the curtain for him.
Okay, quite frankly, if you ask me, I think the ask of tznius is a very simple answer. It's much more tznius that a woman should read for a woman. But this is a point of contention today because it goes into the wider question of where is the place of women in synagogue. But with regard to Megillah reading, gentlemen, I want you to be very clear. Women are obligated in Megillah reading, period. There's no one that says they're not. And therefore, we cannot create a situation where there's one Megillah reading and we're making it appropriate just for the men. We can't. We can do that for laning. We can do that for minyan. We can do that throughout the year. Not for Megillah reading. What are you going to do? We're stuck. Now, if we're stuck, we got to find a solution. You heard my solution today. But you have to take that solution and understand. We go back to the basics. Men and women are obligated to Megillah reading. It's not like laning. And therefore, it's extremely important and vital to reiterate this, and therefore to think to yourselves, well, how do we ensure, as a family, that both of us will be able to read Megillah?
How does he come home from shul and lead it to his family?
Now, very, very nice, but again, Bruce, let's just think about what you just said. This is a beautiful idea. One person, I don't care if it's the man or the woman, one of them goes to shul and they see everyone in costume and they're part of the whole Megillah reading and the brachas and this.
This is the 7 o'clock minion. The guy's in shul.
Okay.
Here's a Megillah. He comes home to his family and he reads him the book.
So what you're basically suggesting, and if I understand correctly, is one should get the beautiful experience of hearing Megillah in a minion and the other should have this private...
A very nice, beautiful experience at home.
A beautiful experience at home.
Let his kids scream up and down, put costumes on.
Bruce, look me in the eye and just answer yes or no. Who goes?
Who goes?
With the woman or the man?
The man goes to shul.
Of course the man! So Bruce.
Every man goes to shul in the morning, comes
to sum up this shul, to sum up this, to sum up this year.
They make noise, he brings them candy.
Bruce, I hate to break it to you, but again, you're thinking not halachically.
Why?
You're thinking non-halachically, and I'll explain why. Men and women are obligated in Megillah.
They're going to hear it.
So when you say so simply, I'll go to Minyan, of course, but my wife should stay at home and I'll read it for her afterwards, I will tell you two things. Number one, not every man can read the Megillah from a cloth. Yes, he does. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Bruce, again, you're supposed to read a Megillah from a cloth with the brachas. That's the way you're supposed to read. What you're suggesting is a bediyevit, when you don't have a cloth. But there is a cloth. It's in shul. The problem is, you don't know how to read it. So what do you suggest? Oh, I'll go to shul, of course, because I'm the man. But the woman, not big deal. And I'm telling you, Bruce, that's a halachic, that's a non-halachic statement. Halachically, you're both obligated. That's what I'm trying to say. Again, it's not like laning. It's not like minyan. This is one mitzvah that both men and women are obligated.
When you learn, it's at 7 in the morning. That's the time you can learn.
Okay.
You have one guy to learn. There's one cloth. He's going to do it at 7 a.m.
Okay.
At the morning minyan.
Fine.
So then what do you do?
What do you do? Well, that's exactly what I suggested. You have to create a situation. Yeah, that's what I'm just... What do you think this year was about? Were you listening or were you somewhere else?
So all the women will come with the kids at 7 in the morning?
No, I'd say all the women should come with the men and they should have proper activities for the kids. Why do you do it at 7 a.m.?
That's the time the guy happens to give it.
What?
You have one guy.
Get another guy. Get another guy that can come at 8 o'clock.
Guy. You said there's only one guy in one.
Bruce, it's Sunday this year. Around the world, I don't think people get up at 7 o'clock minyan on a Sunday.
There's one Sunday, but what do you do in a case where the guy can land at 7 a.m.?
So once again, I believe that the whole thinking of 7 a.m., and it's the only time, happens to be something that we can always talk about with regard to any time of the year. And just ask one question. When do we get the minyan of men? Right? That's what we need to deal with.
Right.
When it comes to Megillah reading, we have two problems, two challenges, beautiful challenges. The first is, when do we get the minyan of men? And the second is, how do we ensure that the women fulfill their obligation? Because they are obligated in Megillah reading. So you cannot simply say, as you just suggested, oh, I'll go to shul and hear Megillah, then I'll come home and my wife will read from a chumash, because reading from a chumash is not the fulfillment of Megillah reading. It's only if you don't have a Megillah. The Megillah's across the street. What am I going to do? I don't know Hebrew. So I can't read it. Okay, you don't know Hebrew, you can't read it. Well, why didn't you take a babysitter at 7 o'clock in the morning then? The answer again is, when Megillah reading comes, it's not like Minyan and Laney, I'm saying this again, they're both obligated. So let's create a system where they both can hear it. Now, again, lap of luxury. You have a Chabad thing that reads on the hour, every hour.
Right.
Wonderful, terrific. We can, the whole shir can go down the drain. We got it. I am saying to you that in most communities you have one. And that one is beautiful and it's very invested into. You cannot, I say, on every other issue you can. But on this issue, if you want, if you need to think halachically, and I suggest we all do, men and women are obligated. I didn't make the halacha. I didn't create the problem. The Chachamim did. Chazal said that.
Halachically, b'divad, it works.
Halacha.
I mean, it's 7 in the morning.
Bruce, b'divad, for you too, it works. If you don't have a Megillah and you're on a stranded island, you should read it out of a Chumash without a Bracha. Not just men, women. Okay. It's a halacha for men too. I'm saying that's not the kiyum of Megillah reading. That's why we call it Megillah reading. We don't call it Chumash reading.
So
now, quite frankly, we had it at a certain time where more the majority of the people can come. And then we had an assured.
So it's nice, because you could.
Yeah, but again, we had to create a system where people could come and listen and do it. If they chose not to, they chose not to. But I'm saying to you that unlike other times of the year, this is one mitzvah. There is no contending point of view saying women are not obligated. For example, Shabbat Zachor. That mitzvah, that could be a mitzvah d'oraisa, to hear the reading of Zachor, there is a machlokis if women are obligated. There is! So maybe there I won't break my head as much. But here I have to break my head, because they're equally obligated. It's only a derabbanan, maybe medivrei kabbalah, I hear it all. But they are. So we cannot create a system where just the men come, or just the women come. So we have to create a system where you are able to give both. So again, if you have a big community and you can give 2 Megillah readings, wonderful. My point of view is that many of these communities, there are many of people that if you don't create the system that they both can come, then quite frankly no one will show up at the second Megillah reading.
Only do it at 7 in the morning.
Pardon?
What happened when the Lena could only do it too early for most women with kids who could actually...
You want to know my true, honest-to-goodness answer to that question?
Yeah. No, if you can't change the time, it's not an option.
You want to hear my honest-to-goodness answer to that question?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. I'm going to give you my honest-to-goodness answer to that question. Let's say you're making a kiddush. Okay? And at that kiddush, you get all your kosher food here in the neighborhood. Do you want to have a bottle of schnapps? Because a kiddush is not finished... It's not considered a kiddush without schnapps. And there's no schnapps. Schnapps costs $50, $60, $70. Do you buy it? Do you go out of your way to get it? Or do you say, forget it, don't need it?
At some point, you'd say, forget
it. I'm saying that if the kiddush and everyone else's kiddush has schnapps, you're going to go out of your way to get it. You're going to ask everyone in the front who's going to duty-free, who's coming back, what, but, boo, and you're going to get that bottle of schnapps. That's what I'm assuming. Now, you tell me how come you do that for a bottle of schnapps and not do that for a mitzvah of hearing the Megillah that both men and women are obligated in. You have a guy who says, I'm only going to read at 7 o'clock? Right. The answer is, thank you for your services. We appreciate it, but it's not mat'im for our community. For Purim, we will hire someone to read the Megillah at a different time.
I'm trying to ask if you couldn't.
No, I have to tell you. Now I have to. I have to tell you. We are now part of a program here in Israel, together with Sohar, that is making Megillah readings around the country, and we are right now recruiting Megillah readers. Now that means it's going to be a little, how can I say this, inconvenient for the readers. They're going to have to travel here, travel there. Yeah, they're willing to do it. Many people are willing to do it. And quite frankly, if I've called someone, I say, I'm paying for your flight, $200 out of the shul's budget that's, you know, depleted and minus, but we can somehow get it together. Can you come in and read the Megillah at 8 o'clock? I'm pretty sure the shul can cover that expense. And I'm pretty sure many good Jews out there would be willing to do it. And guess what? The person will be appreciated very much for giving of his time and services. So to say, the reader decides for the shul, I don't accept. Just like I've said many times around this table, the chazan does not decide how davening should go. He is a shliach tzibor. Translate?
He's the representative for the community.
That's right. He's not a one-man show. He's not an opera singer. You want to go to an opera? You pay for a ticket, you go to an opera. You want to hear a chazan? You pay for a ticket, you hear chazanos. Beautiful. I have nothing against it. When you are shliach tzibor, you have to look at the tzibor and say, how do I become an authentic messenger for this tzibor? And if the tzibor is a tzibor, living in a stranded community with one Megillah reading, you have to ask yourself, how do we service it?
If you're paying him, so make two.
Hmm?
if you're paying him.
Could be. I'm not saying that.
A guy, and you can bring in other people, and it's just a matter of...
Idafka didn't hire him. I said just to cover his expenses. But if you're hiring a guy and you can make 25 Megillah readings, I'm saying when it's impossible, and there is one Megillah reader, and if you read 25 times, there goes your voice, and you have other things to do on Purim, let's face it, then quite frankly, I believe you have to make it at a time that will be as convenient as possible for both men and women. You're never going to find the time. Right. There's always going to be people that can't make it. I'm saying your option was very nice. You could say that about Minyan all year. You cannot say that about Megillah reading. Men and women are obligated to Megillah reading. So a woman has to go out of her way, just like a man, to hear Megillah reading. What are you going to do?
When you can't pick another time. What happens when you just can't pick another
time? I've never been in a situation where you can't pick another time. Never.
In all these towns around the
world. All these towns. Never, never, never been in such a situation. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. This is nothing to do with halacha. This is just practical. When a community hires a rabbi and they're stranded in hotspots, okay? Part of the rabbi's job is...
So why is...
Part of the rabbi's job is... Finish the sentence.
I guess to cater to the community.
Yes, cater to the community, which includes...
Whatever they need.
You're right!
Like two minyanim. Like two lanings.
You got it. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. These communities, all these small communities, if the rabbi's hired, the first thing they ask him is, do you know how to lane?
But then why
if there's other laners, they won't ask him. But if he's the laner and there's no laners, they will ask him, and before they hire him, do you know how to lane? You're laning every week. Or you're laning on a rotation, but you're definitely laning Megillah. Nope. So therefore, there's no question that they'll have it. But again, the rabbi, on the day of Purim, has other things to do as well. He cannot read the Megillah constantly for his community. Now, let's remember, these are not communities that the women are going out of their way to come to shul sometimes. You've got to create the situation where they come. So take that all into consideration. Find the best time possible and do what you can.
Once he's your representative like this, why not have just two?
I'm saying it's beautiful, but again, the question will come up.
You just know, like, there's only going to be one.
The two Megillah readings are wonderful when you're living in the lap of luxury. It is not wonderful when there's one beautiful Megillah reading, and then the second one, because many people won't come to that second one. They'll just say, I'm a good Jew not going to Shul on Shabbos, and I'm a good Jew not going to Minyan every day, and I'll be a good Jew not hearing Megillah. And I hate to say this, I believe that the problem, or the actual fault lies with the community that doesn't give the service to the community, saying, we're giving you the service. You can choose not to come, but we're doing everything possible for you efficiently to come. But I do not accept the other point of view of, we daven at 7. You don't like it? Tough.
No, 7 and 10. I think it's great to do. You hire this guy.
You're living
in
the community.
He understands
okay.
His duty too.
Harold, in the community you came from, shall remain nameless, how many minyanim were there on Purim morning?
More than one.
Thank you. But not every community can manage that. More than that. If you have one Megillah reading that you're really invested in, then a second one, which everyone knows is like the second class citizens, people won't come. People won't come. And you want as many people to fulfill this mitzvah. It's a beautiful mitzvah. And therefore, you go out of your way, not out of your way, you give a service to the community. Again, if you want to read the Megillah yourself, you do it at home. Fine, I'm not dealing with that. I'm dealing with this. It's a perfect solution. There's only one problem. And here I'm going to leave you with the following thought. We just said that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you don't need a minyan for Megillah reading, but you should have one. That's what he paskins. The Mishnah Berurah says the same thing, and a few places in Hilchos Megillah. Usually, if you have two Megillah readings, one will have a minyan, and the other maybe will not. Now, do you want to push that, in which you're basically saying, let's create a situation where one is the Megillah reading with all the chumras and the hidurim, and the second one is a Megillah reading, your Yotze, so you have to have two proper minyanim, and you have to divide up the crowd into 10-10. Now, if you're able to do that, beautiful idea. But again, now you're thinking halachically, Bruce, because you're saying everyone's obligated, we have to create the situation where everyone can come. But you cannot say the solution you started with let the women stay at home, and the children, and I'll go to shul and enjoy myself. Very nice, all year, if that's the way you want to live. I can't say halachically I have a problem with it. I have a problem with it as a family man. I don't know how your shalom bayit will be, but okay, halachically I'm all right with it. On Purim I can't accept it, because guess what? They got a beautiful quandary, I call it. A beautiful challenge. Men and women are obligated in Megillah reading.